This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I take you to 2016. Ron Gleason and our friend Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune, who joins us now on the Alpimonte Ford Hotline, Alpimonte Ford in Melrose Park. 2016, with 9 picks over 7 rounds, no quarterback was taken, including 3 picks in the 4th round before the Cowboys took Dak Prescott. And this was going into Jay Cutler's final year with the Bears. They didn't take a quarterback then. It drove me crazy then. I'm not second guessing. I liked Dak then. And just the overall concept of drafting a quarterback every year seems to be more talk than actions.
Got to do something. Got to figure something out now. Mm-hmm. Now's the time.
More talk than actions was a theme of what Rich Campbell wrote about in the Tribune the other day after the press conference, or after the game, I should say. Hello, Rich. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year. Speaks, I'm just trying to wrap my head around your point here. Are you saying that NFL executives are not forthcoming about their draft strategies?
Yes. Yeah. That is one of my points. But the other point is that Ryan Pace has talked a big game about like taking a quarterback every year, taking a quarterback often, and he's never done it. Will they do it this year, you think? Take one to back up what they already have?
But it's impossible to say, because if he had come out and said it the other day, we're going to take one.
Yeah.
How could you believe him based on the track record? And so, yeah, I'm in a full see it to believe it mode with this entire team till we get to September. And when you consider what they said about Mitch on Tuesday, it was one path of about 4 or 5 they could have taken. Anything from we're moving on from Mitch to Mitch is our unquestioned starter and we're not even going to change that quarterback room a bit. You know, they kind of went more towards the belief in Mitch end of that spectrum, still left open the wide range of possibilities at the other quarterback position. And so that will be the real indicator of how much confidence they have in Mitch, how strongly they believe that he will take this opportunity to be the starter and run with it to become this master of coverages, which is the challenge Matt Nagy put to him. They could have softened it. They didn't. And so because they believe so strongly in Mitch, wouldn't surprise me if they went through the draft without picking one. They've got 7 picks is my understanding right now. A couple things have to sort out. But if they drafted one, okay, let's say they have too many holes elsewhere to take one with number 43 or number 50. Those are their top 2 picks, the 2 picks they have in the 2nd round. Unless they think that guy could be their Andy Dalton-type starter long-term. The reason I use Dalton is because he's a 2nd-round pick himself. Otherwise, they need to get a tight end. They need to get a right guard. They might need a starting corner. They need a 2nd tight end. So if they go mid-rounds with those guys, what do you count on him to do if Mitch doesn't play well? They're going to have to go get a veteran who can push Mitch and who can win if he doesn't play well. And then that draft pick, in my guess, would be a developmental guy.
But here's the question. How much do you spend on a veteran quarterback when you bring somebody in? If you think Mitch is your starting quarterback, how are they going to spend enough money to bring in someone who truly could compete for that job?
Well, not only that, Ron, but how do you convince that guy to come here now?
Exactly.
That you have put all of your belief and your confidence in Mitch? They have, to some extent, maybe limited themselves in the market, what they can go out and do, who they can attract. Now, could they tell players in free agency something different than they told us the other day? You know, Mike Glennon saying, this is my year. Yes, they could. Could they make money talk and just figure out a way to pay a quarterback to come here and just work through some of the doubt about whether he's going to get to play? Yes. But that's a great question. That was why their outlook Tuesday was so important, because it was going to lay the roadmap out for us about how they're going to put together that quarterback room. And their strong belief, or Ryan Pace's strong belief in Mitch, gave us an idea that maybe we do see Mitch for 16 games next season, as long as he's healthy. And if so, boy, he's got to play well. He's got to get a lot closer to that master of coverages level than he is right now.
But to that end, the lack of commitment to that fifth-year option and delaying that till May, that is something you can share with your potential free agents as well. And they can couch that however they want, but it is, to me, if you're talking to that potential free agent, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater or whoever, you say, look, we have a guy, probably just for another year. It might just be for another year. You've got a shot to win this job. I wonder if I am underselling, or we have undersold that, the way they talked about that fifth-year option, as being an indicator of where they really are with Mitch, that they're actually a little bit more in the middle than they are with full-on endorsement.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it was certainly noteworthy Tuesday that they did not just go ahead and say, we're picking up this option, because it is guaranteed only for injury. If Mitch still played poorly, they could move on and it not be on the hook for the, I think it's $25 million, something like that, that they would have to pay him if he were to get injured under that fifth-year option. So the fact that they did not just stamp it the way they did with Leonard Floyd at that press conference a year ago absolutely was noteworthy. Now, if they came out today, if they came out at the combine in next month and said, oh yeah, you know, we just needed a little bit of time, we're picking up the fifth year option, well then we didn't undersell it today. So we're just going to have to wait and see how that plays out, and then we can formulate the perspective at that point. But at least right now, I'm with you, Spiegs, that was noteworthy, and wonder sort of what they need to work through to make a decision on that. And outwardly, I mean, it's a possibility that they know they're going to do it, and they just didn't want the headline of that presser to be, we're picking up the fifth-year option, and not pay attention to everything else they said about regression, about some of the other parts of the team that need work. Was it a PR, you know, minded decision? Again, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait till we get a final call on what they want to do with that option.
Hey, Rich, I'm wondering what you think. Which decision, or which avenue, you mentioned the five avenues they could have gone, which avenue gives Ryan Pace more job security? Going with Mitch Trubisky for another year, or not going with Mitch Trubisky and trying to find another quarterback?
Well, I think the way that they've set it up right now is that Pace can have it both ways. So I think that, I mean, this is a great question, because ultimately this is what it comes down to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if the Bears change quarterbacks, but Ryan Pace isn't there, then what is it for him, right? So the way they've set it up right now is that they could go into 2020 with Mitch as a starter, still preaching patience about his development, still angling towards his upside and everything they saw in him when they drafted him number two and traded up to draft him number two. But they've also, because they left that second quarterback spot really wide open in an evaluation, if they can sign a guy, and I think we'll all this offseason look at the Titans situation where Ryan Tannehill took over for Marcus Mariota, played well, they have him in the playoffs. If the Bears could create that type of situation, which Pace left open the possibility of, then it helps his job security. So he could have a safety net at quarterback the way they've set this thing up and be okay. But ultimately, it is going to come down to getting better play at the quarterback position, whether it's from Mitch or a backup that they sign. And to this point, we don't have evidence of Mitch sustaining excellence for a long period of time. We've seen flashes over 3 years, but you can't point to any six-game stretch where you go, this guy's the reason they win every week. It hasn't happened. We're 40 starts in. And so, to me, the way I look at it is that, yes, Pace has sort of set this up to help his job security, and that goes hand in hand with just helping the team win next year. But they need better quarterback play. So whether it's Mitch or someone else, they can still be fine. They can still make the playoffs next year, but it just has to be better from whoever's taking snaps.
Rich, is there any quarterback out there similar to a Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater who would be willing to come in a situation like this on a one-year show-me deal that isn't that expensive, so they can set up that kind of situation?
It's a great question. I haven't unpacked all this yet because just still working through the season, and it's on the to-do list in the next week to really dive into who is going to be available out there. Marcus Mariota is a name that so many people peg to this because they figure the quarterback carousel is turning. Ryan Tannehill has established himself in Tennessee. Ryan Pace had real interest in Mariota in the draft when he came out and was working on trading Cutler to make room for Mariota to go up and get him. That didn't happen. Obviously, the Mark Helfrich tie to Mariota no longer exists with the Bears because he was fired this week. But to me, as it relates to Mariota, I don't see him coming here because he and Trubisky share the same agents at Rep 1 Sports. I don't think that agency is going to put both of those guys in a situation where only one of them can play and really excel. So if it's not Mariota, Bridgewater is another one that comes to mind. And then what, right? I mean, is Andy Dalton going to get out of Cincinnati? And could he do the things that Matt Nagy wants to do? I mean, that name's going to be at the top of a list. I don't think Eli Manning is the type of fit here that would necessarily work. For me, I'm extremely curious what type of flexibility the Redskins and Alex Smith's contract involves, or how willing the new regime in Washington would be with Dwayne Haskins there to consider trading Alex Smith or working through whatever in his contract needs to, provided he's healthy. And that's not a small footnote. Smith had leg infections after his disastrous broken leg 2 seasons ago and hasn't played since. But you could understand that if Alex Smith were available, Matt Nagy would be very interested in that. So those are the couple of the guys that I'd be interested in looking at more closely in the next couple of weeks.
Harry Hiestand, a legendary teacher at offensive line, but didn't work out with him as the offensive line coach. Juan Castillo is the new hire. Buffalo has run the ball pretty well last couple of years with a very mobile quarterback in Josh Allen, who was the second ranked rusher among all quarterbacks this past year in the NFL. What do we read into that hire as the Bears offensive line coach?
Well, I think there's comfort with Nagy because when Nagy first entered the NFL coaching ranks in 2008 as a coaching intern, that Castillo was with the Eagles, had been there for 10 years, 20 years at that point. No, excuse me, 10 years at that point. So there's comfort there, and there's a history there that didn't exist with Harry Hiestand. And I think we can all agree with Ryan Pace that what he said on Tuesday, that the offensive line was a real problem and that hurt them. And there was a regression really across the board. I don't think you could look at any of the 5 offensive line starters or even their reserves and say they played better this season than they did a year ago. So that's a real problem. That quality with Harry Hiestand, which we heard so much of from former players, it did not materialize for that group. Okay. So to me, some of it's technique because those guys lost a lot of one-on-one battles, you know, one-on-one blocks. But also there's some run scheme involved, and this is where we're going to have a harder time unpacking this, is that what does Matt Nagy need to accomplish in that inside zone shotgun running game that he wants to run that they couldn't run? You saw them go to under center with Mitch way more than he had in years past, way more frequently than Kansas City does. So what about that can they package? And I think just we're going to hear overall just about the comfort that Nagy has with Juan Castillo and Juan's understanding of the concepts they want to employ at the O-line spot. I think it comes down to personnel, and we're going to have to wait a while to see whether these fixes are meaningful. We can all point to the offensive production or lack thereof in the run game, in the passing game, and say, yes, changes are warranted, but also, did they make enough changes? You know, so Nagy obviously is working toward comfort, understanding that he's got to get his offense going in year 3. The dynamic when we get to this point a year from now is going to be so much more different and intense when it comes to job security and this patience urgency trade-off, that Nagy's going to make sure he has his guys and that there's a full understanding of the concepts they want to work.
Thanks so much, Rich. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you. That's Rich Campbell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.